الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, every one of us, every single human being has some concern regarding what's going to come, what's going to happen regarding the future. No one is certain. Everyone has some fear or the other regarding the events that may unfold. How are we going to fare? What is going to happen to us? As a Muslim, our primary focus should be what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in Quran, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us. Every single principle has been laid down for us very, very clearly. We'll study Quran, we'll study hadith, we'll look into the books of history and seerah. Draw lessons for ourselves. How do we navigate forward? By looking at the people of the past, they also had fear. They also had fear. They also had concerns regarding what's going to happen to them in their future. But they adopted certain procedures and Allah Ta'ala made them victorious through every challenge that came before them, through every challenge that they faced. So what's the broad principle in Quran? We've read an ayat in the khutbah. Allah guides us that when you want Allah's help, there are certain methods, there are certain things you need to adopt. Put certain things into place and Allah's help will come to you. Before discussing the ayah, let's look at the books of history. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has recorded in his book Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya, he says, كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ لَا يَثْبُتُ لَهُمُ الْعَدُوُّ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ فُوَاقَ نَاقَةٍ. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah had blessed them with unique strength, stamina, power, strategy, intelligence, such intelligence that whenever they faced an enemy, whenever they came into contact with the enemy, or whenever a challenge was brought before them, then whoever was across them, whoever was on the other side, whoever was the opposition, irrespective of their number, irrespective of their clout, their power, their backing, no one would be able to stand in front of Sahaba radiallahu anhum fuwaqa naqatin for even a small moment. So this really put great monarchs, kings, and people who led with great power behind them, it put them into a dilemma and a question that why are these people, small group, ill-equipped, they aren't even as muscular as our men and as well-trained as our men, how come they are always victorious? So Hiraqal, the emperor of Rome, he himself, he was in a place called Antakya, and one of his groups that he sent out, one of his armies, they returned defeated. Many were killed and the remainder who retreated, they came back. And Hiraqal himself, the emperor himself, he comes to this army. And he tells them, what is wrong with you people? Please explain to me. These people who you are engaging in battle with, aren't they men like you? Yes, of course, they are men like us. They aren't some supernatural beings. They don't have some supernatural power. They aren't angels, nor are they aliens. They're normal human beings like us. Alright? Number two, who's more in number? Who has greater artillery? Who has more weapons, stronger weapons? You or them? Definitely, we are the people who have greater weapons. Then how is it that always, whenever a detachment of our army is going, they're always returning with defeat. We never suffered defeat in our entire history, like we're suffering defeat in front of this group, meaning the group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So no one, so he's asking them, give me the reason. Why are you always losing? No one said anything. Then qala shaykhun min udhamaihim. One old man from the very senior members of the army, he had the courage to speak to the Roman emperor and tell him what's the actual secret. He said, you really want to know why these people are victorious? What this is now the guideline of Quran. This is now the guideline of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I'll tell you. Let me give you the full reason why they're always victorious. Number one, min ajli annahum yaqumun al-layla wa yasumun al-nahar. The first two qualities to start off with, they always, as far as the night is concerned, they are engaged in salah. They engage in tahajjud. They are calling out to their Rabb. And during the day, they are fasting. Number two, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. As far as their dealings with each other, they command with good and they prevent from evil. Someone's doing good, they encourage him. Someone's doing evil, they stop him. Number five and six, وَيُوفُونَ بِالْعَهْدِ وَيَتَنَاصَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ. When they make a promise and a pledge, they honor that pledge, they fulfill it, they complete it. They don't make any breach of contract or trust in any way. And when they deal amongst themselves, there is no inconvenience, it's absolute justice. Amongst themselves, in battle, at home, in the masjid, wherever they are, there is only justice that prevails over these people. Whereas when you look at our side, we are always losing. You want to know why? Because min ajli anna nashrabul khamra wa nazni wa narkabul haram. We are drinking wine, we merry making. We're drinking alcohol. And we're engaging in zina. We are violating the respect of people who are in our community by engaging in haram, by sharing the bed with incorrect women. And we're engaging in all other types of haram. And he says, وَنَظْلِمْ وَنَغْسِبْ وَنُفْسِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We steal, we oppress, we inconvenience, we cause corruption in the earth. This is our side, this is what we do, and this is what they are doing. Hiraqal, the Roman emperor, was so impressed with this man's answer, he told him, Anta sadaqtani, you have spoken the truth. You have spoken the truth. This is the real reason. People who have these qualities, they'll always be victorious. No one would be able to trample over them. No one would be able to do anything wrong to them. Again we find, Yazdajird, who was the last emperor, the last king of Persia, he was the last king before Sahaba radiallahu anhum had conquered during the reign of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we have Yazdajird was ruling over and he saw Sahaba radiallahu anhum coming, small armies. But whenever they come, they're taking over territory after territory. No one can defeat them. No matter what strategy they're putting into place, as far as battle is concerned, bribery is concerned, whatever they are doing, Sahaba are mowing over and taking land after land. So he was worried. He noticed his men are inadequate. They aren't going to be able to fulfill the job and purpose. They can't get it done. So he wrote to the Chinese emperor of the time that please send me some of your men as aid and assistance, because whenever one kingdom, one country asks another for some sort of assistance, so please give me some assistance. So the messenger from Persia goes all the way to China. The Chinese emperor says, I don't mind giving you an army. I will help you. But from the reports I'm getting, I notice that something doesn't make sense. I need to understand, it doesn't make battle sense. Always, whenever y'all are going, y'all are larger in number, these people are fewer in number. How is it that y'all are suffering defeat and they are always victorious? So he says, I want to know more about this army. Can you give me a better description? The messenger who was sent from Persia, he says, I've got full experience with these people. Ask me whatever you want, I'll give you every detail. So he says, tell me regarding how they engage in battle. So he says, when they engage in battle, they don't fight first. The first thing they do, they come clearly, they send a message before the battle that we don't want to just fight you people, we're going to give you three options. Number one, The first option is, accept Islam, become like us, you'll enjoy what we enjoy, and you will have to pay and give whatever we give. That's the first option. Second option, they say, okay, if you don't want to accept Islam, you can engage in a treaty, in a peace treaty, and you will live under our rule and under our laws. And lastly, if you don't accept the first two, then we are now forced to engage in battle with you. So the king heard this, the Chinese emperor heard this. Next question he asked, okay, tell me, what is their level of obedience to their leader and their emir? He said, "Hum atwa'u qawmin li amirihim." These people's obedience to take a lesson from when the emir says something, does something, they never go against the instruction and the desire of the emir. He says, okay, do they have things regard to be permissible and things that regard to be impermissible? Yes, there's an entire list. They have halal and they have haram. Then the Chinese emperor tells him, I can give you an army that's hundreds of thousands of men. I can give you so many that'll march from here right till Persia. But my advice to you is, people who have such qualities, the right thing to do is to engage in a peace treaty with them and rather live under them than engage in battle with them. Because people who have these qualities are divinely guided and aided. And leave Persia, leave China. Even if they come and they attack a mountain, they'll bring the mountain to dust. That's the power of these people. Because they aren't running on their strength, they're running on divine strength. Allah is supporting such people. So leave Persia, leave China, leave the kingdoms of the world. They'll flatten mountains with their divine strength. The only way you make peace with them, or the other way you want to drop them is, the only other trick you can use to drop such people is, you see their halal and their haram. You must make them regard their halal to be haram and regard their haram to be halal. The day they fall into that, that's the day all their divine strength will be lost. So this was Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These two incidents, they highlight to us, they make us understand in a better way the ayat we recited in the khutbah. Allah tells us, people of Iman, you want Allah's aid. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they enjoyed it every day, every night, at every moment. If you and I also want Allah's help, Allah says there's two things you gotta do. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu. Seek Allah's help. Through what? Bisabri wa salati. Literally, if we translate it, through patience and through salah. But there's an explanation. There's an explanation for this. If you want Allah's help, then do it through patience. We'll rephrase, or we'll give an explanation here. Bisabri. The word sabr is used. But ulama kiram explain, sabr is one part of a larger structure. When we look at the larger structure, it means seek Allah's help through good character. Have the right character. When you adopt the correct character, Allah's help will be coming to you, wherever you are. Character is not restricted to one place, one town, one street, wherever you are, whether you're in the masjid, whether you're at home, whether you're in the business, wherever, if you're at home or whether you are traveling, always adopt the correct character. Look what deen wants you to do, what deen doesn't want you to do. When your character is right, victory will be yours. For example, look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've heard this before. We've heard of the Battle of Badr. One of the greatest battles to be fought in the history of Islam. Second year after Hijrah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes out with a small army who's totally ill-equipped, approximately 313. Their swords are numbering about 7 or 8. The camels are about 70. The horses are only 2. The armors and the shields are small in number. Few, a little bit of armory they had with them. And now they're going out intending to intercept a caravan. In the meantime, this whole thing panned out to be a battle. The Quraysh leave Makkah Mukarramah with 1,000 strong, and they come to Badr, and they take the higher grounds, the better ground, where the ground was firm, and they take possession of the well, because there's a large army, they need water. The Muslims came to a spot, the well was already taken. So there isn't much water for them. Whatever water they brought with them, they used that. And a Muslim needs water all the time. He needs for wudu, he needs for ghusl, for the toilet, for istinja, for drinking. Now it so happened that they took possession of the well, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worried that there's such a large army, they already came prepared with pride, with pomp and glory, with singing women and with intention of festivity, that we will celebrate, we'll wipe these Muslims out. That night, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about this in Quran, وَيُنَزُّلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Allah had sent down water from the sky, Allah sent down rain. The Muslims were at a spot where the land was soft. And as a result, it wasn't to their advantage, their legs weren't firm, the animals that they had, the legs were slipping, and the kuffar, they were on firmer ground. But when the rain came, the ground that the kuffar were on became slippery, and the ground that the Muslims were on were firm. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recognizing the rain has come from Allah. In Arab lands, he instructed the Sahaba, make little ponds, little holes, and store the water, we'll use that water for our needs. So they stored water. On one hand, Allah sends divine water for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of Badr. And on the other hand, the mushrikeen, they were content with their well, but guess what happens? The water in the well runs out. There's no water. They run dry. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the next day, he's going to go into battle. The greatest battle in Islam. Kuffar are coming. These people are ready to chop your necks, to slit your throats, to rob you of whatever you have, to injure your bodies. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, here's, these people do not have enough water to drink. They're the enemy. They want to kill us tomorrow. Look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tells Sahaba, the water we have, never mind. They are our enemy. Pass it on to them. He passes the water on. He could have felt, you know, if they're thirsty, they're not going to be able to fight. He takes the water from his camp and he gives it to them. This is the akhlaq of a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, be good and be kind. Even in battle, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted the highest level of character. He gives what he has to the kuffar army, teaching us istainu bisabri. Allah's help doesn't come with your force, with your clout, with your power, with your artillery. It comes when you adopt the character Allah wants from us. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, Battle of Uhud. He comes, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes an announcement. I've got my personal sword. This sword I'm going to give to someone tomorrow who's going to fulfill the right of the sword and who is beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone is wondering who's going to get it. Everyone came forward. Then one sahabi radiallahu anhu, Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives him the sword. He asks, Ya Rasulullah, what's the right of the sword? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives him the instruction that this sword is a tool of jihad. It should be used against the enemy. It should never be used incorrectly. Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, with the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fights very bravely. Until he comes at one spot in the Battle of Uhud, he comes to a place at the end of a mountain. The kuffar brought their women folk. And he sees an entire group of women. With those women was the wife of the leader, Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan. He could have killed her at the time. He drew the sword. But then he thought to himself, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wipe out the enemy. Don't wipe out someone. It's inappropriate for the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be harming women. Maybe they're instrumental in the battle, but I wouldn't harm them. He puts the sword away and he walks off. Teaching us again the character of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When they waited, but they adopted correct character. This is what attracted Allah's help. Another Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Khubayb bin Adi. He was cheated. He was deceived by the kuffar. They gave him their word, they won't harm him, but they took him into captivity and they sold him to the kuffar of Makkah. They wanted his blood, they wanted to kill him. He knew he was kept captive and they were detaining him for a few days before they execute him. So before he goes, he asks for a razor to cleanse himself before he meets his Rabb. He knows they're going to kill him. Whilst they gave him the razor, Khubayb radiallahu anhu is seated and he was sold to the family of Harith bin Amir. Harith bin Amir was killed by Khubayb radiallahu anhu during the Battle of Badr. So his family wanted to take revenge. The daughter of Harith says, he was our captive. My little son somehow made his way into the cage and into the captivity area of Khubayb. When I turned around, I saw my son sitting on the lap of Khubayb. On one hand, he had the razor blade. On the other hand, my little son, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, has recorded this narration. And he could have slit the throat. He looks at me and he sees fear in my eyes. He told me, "Atakhshayna an aqtulahu?" Do you fear and do you think I'm going to take the life of this boy? Ma kuntu li af'ala hadha. I will never engage in such an action. This is not what we are trained for. We don't harm the innocent. We're going to use our strength on those who we have to use it, and we won't use it incorrectly. So the first aspect Allah speaks about is ista'inu bis sabri. You want Allah's help? Get it through character. Wherever we are going, character in simple words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taught Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he had corrected them, that one of the worst actions, Nuh alayhi salam advised his son, before passing away, I prevent you from getting involved in shirk, and I prevent you from getting involved in pride. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went on to explain, what's pride? Now this is the bottom line, this is the essence of good character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained to Sahaba, what's pride? Batarul haqq, sut, in other words, to reject correction. When correction comes your way, to reject it. Wa ghamtun nas, and to look low at others. To think yourself to be better and every achievement to be yours. This is the essence of pride. We need to rid ourselves of this. Adopt good character in whatever way we can, and Allah's help will come to us. The second aspect mentioned here is as-salah. When you want Allah's help, go into salah. Salah, in essence, ulama ikram explain, salah means the namaz itself, whatever is done in the namaz, meaning all the ibadat, dhikr, tilawat, takbir, tasbih, reciting la ilaha illallah, durood, all these aspects, dua, and wherever the salah is performed, meaning the masajid. So you want Allah's help, character number one. Number two, salah and whatever is around salah, the masjid where salah is performed, the actions that are done in salah. Take care of these two things, Allah's help will come raining to you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator. He mentions, "Man ahabba Allah azza wa jal, falyuhibbani." Whoever loves Allah should love me, meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. "Waman ahabbani falyuhibba ashabi." Whoever loves me should love my sahaba. "Waman ahabba ashabi falyuhibba al-Qur'an." Whoever loves my sahaba should love Qur'an. "Waman ahabba al-Qur'an falyuhibba al-masajid." Whoever loves the Qur'an should love the masajid. فَإِنَّهَا أَفْنِيَةُ اللَّهِ. These are the special places Allah has put on earth. أَذِنَ اللَّهُ فِي رَفْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا. Allah has commanded that these places be respected. Allah has put special barakah in these places. مَيْمُونَةٌ مَيْمُونٌ أَهْلُهَا. They're full of blessing. And the people who come to the house of Allah, the masajid, they'll also be blessed. مَحْفُوذَةٌ مَحْفُوذٌ أَهْلُهَا. The special protection in these masajid, whoever comes to these masajid will also be protected. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, regarding the people who come, هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ فِي حَوَائِجِهِمْ. They are coming to perform salah, but Allah is seeing to every need and requirement of theirs outside the salah. هُمْ فِي مَسَاجِدِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ. They're coming to the masjid. They're leaving their homes, they're leaving their businesses, whatever they're leaving all that behind them. They're coming to the masjid. Allah is taking care of everything of theirs outside the masjid. This is the barakah of the masjid. Important we engage in salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the night of Badr, Ali radiallahu anhu engaged in battle, but I saw the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam before the battle, in the battle, after the battle, engaging in sajda. He's saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. So many other incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When you want Allah's help, then go to the musalla, go to the masjid, go to salah, go to the actions that are done in salah. Allah's help will definitely come. This was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha hazabahu amrun fazi'a ila salah. Whenever something disturbed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately went to salah, the actions of salah, the place where salah is performed. This is where our solution lies. Remember, brothers, we'll end up on one little statement. We all think the power of the fight depends on your might and your strength. But remember, the power of the fight depends on who you choose to be at night. The power of the fight depends on who you choose to be at night and how firmly you stand on what's right. The power of the fight depends on who you choose to be at night and how firmly you stand on what's right. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us His special help, His divine aid, and the victory that He gave to Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah enable us to perfect our character and resort to salah for every issue that we have in Ilahi Rabbil Alameen.